From the 2014 NFL Combine, this is Jaguars.com Live. A weekly look inside the Jacksonville Jaguars organization. Jaguars.com Live starts right now.
We welcome you inside Lucas Oil Stadium. The 2014 NFL Scouting Combine continues. This is Jaguars.com Live, presented by Turner Pest Control. J.P. Shadrick with the senior writer for Jaguars.com, John Osier. Another busy day here, Johnny.
We're into it now. I mean, if yesterday felt a little preliminary, we got Dave. Today's the day. Quarterback day. Gus talks. It's an exciting day.
A.J. McCarron's on the podium right now.
It's got to be just killing you not to be in there.
We're live, and he's in there. Oh,
you just want to go in and talk to him about Alabama, don't you? Hey, A.J., talk about Mobile a little bit.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that at right. all, for sure. Johnny Manziel spoke earlier today. Bortles was on the podium as well. Some of the big names coming through, finally. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's quarterback day. For us, we talked to Gus Bradley a little bit, but for the national media here, Johnny Manziel, Teddy Bridgewater, Blake Bortles, huge media contingents around those guys, which you would expect. And Peter King's here going to talk to us. It'll be interesting from his perspective to find out just where Johnny Manziel fits into the big stories he's covered here.
Let's get him in. Peter King from Sports Illustrated, Monday morning quarterback as well, joining us on Jaguars.com Live. Peter, thanks for the short notice visit. Appreciate
it. No problem, JP. How are you?
Doing great. And this is always a big scene. It's bigger than ever this year, isn't it?
Well, I remember, we were talking about this earlier, a couple of the old hacks were talking about. I remember in the year 2000, I interviewed Plaxico Burress here. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget when I interviewed him, I had him for about 2 hours in a in that train station, mm-hmm. whatever. I guess it's now the Holiday Inn Crown Center. Yeah. And so, I interviewed him there in, the little coffee shop restaurant there. And we had about 2 hours. And at the end of it, he just sort of was hanging around talking.
Right.
And, I mean, there was no pressure to, here you're lucky to get, if somebody the caliber of Plaxico Burress, a fairly high pick in the draft, is here, there's absolutely no way you're going to spend, never mind 2 hours, you're not going to spend 2 minutes with him. So it's changed. But, I mean, then there were, 20 or 25 people there. Now there's 900. So just
and
like everything in the NFL, it grew.
Your first year?
I think the first time I ever came here was around 97 or 98, but I don't remember.
There was no media staff at all at
nah,
that point.
No.
It wasn't like that.
I mean, honestly, because the Combine people didn't want us here,
right.
We were basically consigned to just waiting around. And if you recognize somebody, Len Pasquarelli was saying he remembered the time that Jerome Bettis came out and he was going, hey, who do you guys want? I'll go and get them for you. And, but because, obviously they didn't have the sort of PR staff helping. And believe me, the Combine has gone from, it's so funny, John, the Combine has gone from not wanting us here
right.
to wanting us here, and because it's a free commercial for the mm-hmm. NFL. Because none of these guys say anything. No player says anything. No coach, no GM. They don't say a thing.
Right.
The league's done such a fine job, though, of creating a full calendar of events in the right. offseason. Right? This is one of those.
What they've done is, I think the NFL, the one thing that people really don't realize is that the NFL really kind of did this consciously. Okay? In putting something like the Combine two or three weeks after the Super Bowl. And then a couple of weeks after that, there's free agency. And for the people who always hated free agency, the front office guys in the NFL, they don't realize that the marketing people, the PR people, and even the commissioner, they want a hot stove league. They want what mm-hmm. baseball used to have
right.
with, all the offseason trades and everything like that. They wanted that, and they have created that. Then they've mandated opening up of mini camps mm-hmm. and, player availability in the off season. In the off season, I've been covering the league now 30 years. In the off season, I remember you never had player availability in the off season. It always had to be, orchestrated through the team or whatever, but generally your quarterback wouldn't be available now. And I don't have any idea in general who's available, how much, but all these guys are available once the off season training starts.
Televising this when it started, I can remember I work for the Colts, and Bill Polian hated the idea of this thing being televised, and he was in lockstep with a lot of GMs and people around the league. How much did televising it change this event, I guess particularly in getting players to work out?
Well, I think one of the things that happened, John, I talked to Malcolm Smith this week, the Super Bowl MVP and the, you know, who was not invited to the Combine. And he's still bitter over not being invited to the Combine. He really is. He's still really upset that he was not invited to the Combine. And one of the things he told me was, once the Combine started getting shown on TV, he would watch it all. And because he said, I'm a football geek. I love football. And I think a lot of players really love watching this stuff because they say, okay, I'm, say, a sophomore in college, and, okay, so now here's my position. Here's what I have to aspire to. If I'm a wide receiver, I better run in the low 4.4s. If I'm a tight end, I need to run mid 4.5, you know, something like that. So I think it gives a lot of the young guys something to shoot for. Mm-hmm.
We're on social media as well, at Jaguars, at JP Shadrick, at John Osier. Use the hashtag JagsLive to get a question in. Peter King from Sports Illustrated Monday Morning Quarterback is here. Let's talk a little bit about the running back position. Maurice Jones-Drew, of course, is going into free agency this year. The Jaguars said that he's going to be able to look around and get a market for him. And do you have any insight as to how that might work and how that position has changed in value in the league?
You know, I feel sorry for guys like Maurice Jones-Drew because I think he always thought to himself, once I really get an opportunity to get out on the open market, then I'll be able to get a contract that is commensurate with what I have earned based on my performance. The only thing is, running backs have been severely devalued in the NFL now because, A...
Tell him that, Peter.
Yeah, well, they have been, though. They really have. And they've been devalued because of all the spread formations, because so many teams now... I had one general manager here tell me that he considers his nickelback, his slot corner, a starting player now as much as anybody on his defense because he's going to play at least two-thirds of the snaps and maybe more than that in many games. So you look at running backs and you just say, first of all, you look at the Arian Fosters, you know, guys who get picked very low or not at all, you know, undrafted free agents. And you look at all those guys and you basically say, we're not going to make running back a monetary priority. We want running backs, but we're not going to pay them a lot because we think that we can get other, you know, we think we can get a good back low in the draft.
Is there still the possibility of an AP going top 10 if he would come out, or is even that day over where you're just not going to see a guy go top 10, top 15?
I don't think those days are over. I just think that especially after the apparent bust of Trent Richardson, mm-hmm. I think now you look at what you see with running backs and you say, I have to be absolutely 100% sure. And look, Adrian Peterson has been more than worth where he was picked. But Trent Richardson was thought of by people as an absolute sure thing, and he's been nothing like a sure thing. So I kind of look at the running back position, and I think the value of it is going down to the point where, you know, like I've been asking people, one guy who I really kind of like in this draft is Andre Williams, the Boston College running back. And talking to people, I think, you know, he could be a third-day pick, which for a guy who's accomplished as much as he has, as smart a guy, and as good a back in all ways, you know, blocking, receiving, running, for him to be a fourth-round pick is just, I think it's stunning. And it speaks to the sort of plummeting market that running backs now have.
Right. And on the other side, quarterbacks have always been pushed up. Sounds like they're going to get pushed up again this year. What are your thoughts on the top three? How does that shake out?
I don't know. You know, it's so early. It's, you know, draft being 11 weeks away. To me, one of the things that would worry me about this crop of quarterbacks is that they seem to be kind of everybody's, you know, kind of flavor of the week. Johnny Manziel is only for a certain number of guys. Blake Bortles is thought of as sort of the perfect pocket guy. You know, Teddy Bridgewater, kind of an average of the two. And so, to me, I think it's what your offense wants. Like Jaguars, when I think of Jed Fish, I think of sort of a young mad scientist. And I think, how excited would he be to have Johnny Manziel? Mm-hmm. I mean, to me, and I know that that's going to be a tough pick for a Dave Caldwell to make, you know, because he doesn't want to draft anybody at number three who isn't as close to a sure thing as he as there can be. So I think a lot more homework has to be done on Johnny Manziel before you know anything about him.
But people want answers right now, Peter.
They can't have them. Not for me, anyway.
Peter King is with us, Sports Illustrated Monday Morning Quarterback, at Jaguars, at JP Shadrick, at John Osier. Use the hashtag JagsLive. Speaking of that number three, if Clowney's available at three, do the Jags take him? And what are your thoughts about Clowney as a prospect? And maybe compare him to some other big-name prospects that have shown off here at the Combine in the past.
Clowney is, to me, a bigger mystery than Manziel, because how does a guy as the one thing that I keep hearing about Clowney, well, he was doubled and triple teamed consistently throughout the process. And I'm thinking to myself, now, I covered Lawrence Taylor with the New York Giants as a young beat guy in this business. And people would say that, and I would say that's wrong. He wasn't doubled and triple teamed on every play. There were many plays against Washington, for instance, where he was single blocked by Joe Jacoby all the time. So don't go telling me that Jadeveon Clowney every snap is double teamed and or triple teamed, because I just don't buy it. And I don't care how many people are blocking him. If your production is going to be that poor as a senior, 3.5 sacks, or, you know, depending on how you grade, how you judge sacks, maybe even less than that. When I start thinking and hearing that, and you start hearing what Steve Spurrier said, that's why I think Jadeveon Clowney requires more homework than Johnny Manziel.
Peter King is with us, Sports Illustrated, Monday Morning Quarterback. How's the new site going anyway, Monday Morning Quarterback?
Yeah, we're having a good time with it. We're just trying to do a lot of new things, a lot of things that, you know, a lot of my peers don't do. And look, it's a matter of survival. The only way that we're able to, you know, make any inroads on all the great sites covering pro football is to be different. So we've tried to be different. I mean, my favorite story, I think, on the site in our first 8 months, I think, was the story of Austin Lane. I got Austin Lane to write a story, What It Feels Like to Get Whacked. And it was by the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I think those are the kind of stories that we want to tell that other people aren't telling.
That's a pretty rare opportunity in this day and age. I mean, there's a lot of places that wouldn't be willing to try to take that, I guess, chance, or to step out a little bit. So you have to, I guess, feel glad Sports Illustrated gave you that chance.
Yeah, I think, John, one of the things that I like about my bosses are that I had no promise for them. Right. I couldn't tell them anything. I didn't know if it was going to work.
Right.
I spent 19 days on the road last spring and early summer with advertisers trying to convince them that this thing that didn't exist was worth a lot of money for them to advertise with us. And so, I don't know. Sometimes people just have to have a leap of faith. And I don't know if this is going to work long term. I think it will, but I don't know. I just hope that when I come to the Combine now, I'm not that interested really at all in the press conferences. I'm interested in people, what I can find out beyond that, because that's the only way really we can survive.
One final Jaguars-related question. You've gotten a chance to see them in operation for a year. Dave Caldwell, Gus Bradley. General thoughts?
I'm very bullish on him. I think Gus Bradley is going to have a very long, prosperous future as an NFL coach. You can tell how he commands his team, how he commands the room. And not only that, I think that it's important for your general manager and your coach to be able to work together, even if they're not close pals from the past. And you see Pete Carroll and John Schneider in Seattle. They barely knew each other, you know. And they worked together to a tremendously, almost like symphonic degree. And you sense the same thing as being born with these two guys. So far I'm very impressed with what I've seen.
And they like each other, which is a neat thing to see.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
Peter, we really appreciate your time. Have a great week here in Indy, and good luck to you.
Thank you very much, JP. Appreciate it.
Peter King joining us, Jaguars.com live from Lucas Oil Stadium. Peter, you can step aside here so we can continue the show. We appreciate it.
You just ran
Peter
King. I
just kicked a Hall of Famer out, I think. Sorry about that. Peter King, right. Nice enough to join us today on Jaguars.com live. Obviously, a new road for him with a Monday morning quarterback on its own site. And
as a neat thing, me as a writer, I'm sort of fascinated by it. It's neat to see something that is sort of allowed to kind of stretch its wings a little bit, which you don't get that often.
No doubt about it. If you want to join us at Jaguars, at JP Shadrick, at John Osier, Jaguars.com live from the Combine in Indy.
So you start off the day by leaving Gus and going to Manziel, and you run Peter King.
It's been a heck of a Friday already.
It is a Friday. Pretty good Friday.
Pretty good, yeah.
Pretty good Friday.
Yeah, so. Well, hey, that's what happens sometimes. Interesting to hear from Peter King, his whole just – he's been around from the start of this thing, how it's grown. We know how it's grown.
Right.
It's been a narrative all week. It's just a big event now, but he was here when it was nothing at all.
Well, and it's interesting to hear him talk about how you really come here and you have to sift through a lot because they do get up on the podium and players are very coached. So the real interesting things a lot of times are listening to the GMs and the coaches talk about each other. And it's even fascinating to talk to guys like Peter, some of the big media guys who get a lot of people around the league to talk to them sort of on the side. Mm-hmm. And that's where, even if you're not going to get something specific from a coach or a player that moves a story along, you may get overall by the end of the combine a dialogue that says, hey, the direction of the league's going this way, the league feels this way about a player, you know, the storylines are pushed forward this week, even though it's a massive information coming at you.
Sure. Let's go to social media. This is cover32_Jax asking about tight ends, John. Do you guys believe that there is, to some extent, some uncertainty at tight end for the Jaguars? Maybe not for Mercedes, but down the line.
Yeah, I mean, perception-wise, there might be. I mean, there's this perception out there that they want to do something with Mercedes he's there. Jed Fish likes Mercedes, and Jed Fish told me a few weeks ago, ideally, if he's healthy, he maybe catches 65, 70 balls. I mean, they believe that he's a guy who can really help this offense work and that he was set back by the calf injury. Mercedes really bought in at the end of last year, was really fired up about this, and started to play better. I'm interested to see what he can do in this offense because I think he's going to be a big part of it next year. Now, on down the line after that, I could see them going in the draft, third or fourth round, for a more pure pass-catching guy if he's there this year.
JP Shadrick with John Osier from Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis. One more social question. Val Avinson asking if Clowney goes first overall. Did the Jags trade down or do they take a quarterback?
Well, it's the old thing. I think ideally Dave would love to trade down. I mean, he's got a lot of holes, a lot of needs, and this is a deep draft. So if you can go from 10 picks to 11 or 12 picks, obviously he'd love to do that. He would have liked to have done that last year. You know, you would think in this draft with as many good players as there are up top, you would maybe get some movement and you maybe get some opportunities. At the same time, the teams that would maybe want to do that may be thinking the same thing as the Jaguars, which is I can get the same player at 5 or 6 or 7 as I can at 3, so why give up a later pick to trade up? That'll be a storyline for the next 2 months.
Back to social media, the story earlier today, Seahawks let go of Sidney Rice. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw that or not. Breezy Blake 23 asking, what are the chances of going after Sidney Rice for the Jags?
You know, it's always hard to tell. And it's a wishy-washy answer, but when there's 32 teams out there, so much of free agency is, yes, when a guy initially comes available, most teams are going to go, yeah, wouldn't mind having that guy. But much as will be the case with Alex Mack or with any high-profile free agent, you're going to look, you're going to do your research, and you're going to set a reasonable price because the Jaguars aren't one player away. So they're not going to be amazingly overpaying any particular spot to try to get a guy. So very possible they look at him, and it'll depend on price. Does it fit what they're doing long term?
John, I think that's about it for today on Jaguars.com Live. There's a few more quarterbacks left to go. I don't know if Bridgewater's been in yet or not.
I don't know. As we left, A.J. McCarron was in there. So Bridgewater's really the only one high profile guy. Derek Carr has been in, so we'll see.
And if, as we mentioned earlier, all the quarterback press conferences, the major ones at least, will be on Jaguars.com archived a little bit later, including Johnny Manziel, at least, Johnny Manziel. That's the word we're getting from our producer, Patrick Cavanaugh. So look for some kind of quarterback content a little bit later today. That's the way to do it.
All right.
John, great stuff as always.
JP, thank you. Thanks, Peter King. That was awesome.
It was fantastic. Peter King, thanks to him. Thanks to you for watching as well. For John Osier, JP Shadrick from Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis, it's Jaguars.com Live presented by Turner Pest Control.